Greetings to each of you this morning. It's a privilege to see each one of you gathered in. A special welcome to the visitors this morning. I was inspired and blessed as we moved throughout the service thus far. So we thought about Brother Eric's devotions and what we need to put off and put on in this new year. As you reflect back over the past year and or maybe the past 2 years, and you think about the changes that have come to this world we live in at an astounding rate of change, and you can be upset about that, or you can be concerned about that, or you can be fine with that, whatever you please, but as I was thinking about what message to preach on the second day of 2022, we stand at the brink of an unknown future, and we can be concerned about that, but I've instead chosen to take our thoughts another way, and I've simply titled this message this morning, If You Want to Change the World. If you want to change the world. And the focus of this message is not about the world out there, it's about the world in here. It's about the world in my heart. Or later in the message, I will speak a little bit about how each of our lives is like, if I would have a whiteboard up here, I would draw a circle to represent your life, and inside of that circle is your world and what you can affect and what you can make a difference in life. And then each of us bumps into some other circles because we don't live on an island and we interact with other people. And I see a group here this morning that is used to interacting with each other, and some of us more closely than others. Just a few quotes I found. This is one by Leo Tolstoy. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. Another one, you must be the change you want to see in the world. And then inspirational speaker and author John Maxwell wrote this one. Most people want to change the world to improve their lives, but the world they need to change first is the one inside of themselves. A lot of what I have to say this morning is, like most messages, it's not new. Maybe it's rearranged in a different way. But I just want to encourage us in this new year, each of you and me, to do the best we can, especially in the areas where only we can. 2 weeks ago, I preached the message titled Only Jesus. And maybe this message should be titled Only You. There's things that only you can do that no one else can do for you. And as we stand on the brink of this new year, I hope that I will do some of these things for myself. And I will grow into more of a Christ-like image. You may open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3 for some opening verses. I don't necessarily have one particular text passage this morning. I have random verses inserted throughout my notes that I will be reading. But as I was thinking of a few verses to open with, 2 Peter in the last 4 or 5 verses of chapter 3, was impressed the intermediate class had one of these verses for their memory work. You know, this passage I'm going to be reading is the concluding verses, or my Bible has it entitled a concluding appeal. Maybe it's a little unique to read at the beginning of something, but yet in a sense, if you study history and you study time, you also know that we're nearing the end of something. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, and this is referencing back, it's we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth, because the Bible says that the one we know now is going to pass away. So wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. If you want to change the world in 2022, my first main point is grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you may wonder, how do you do that? How do I grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ? And I said my message is very simple this morning, and I believe it is, but we need to get into God's Word. We need to get into the Bible. The Bible brings lasting positive change. If you want to change the world, this is an instrument of change. Ephesians 5:26 references this. Says it's talking about Christ and his relationship with the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the Word. Talking about the cleansing that the Word of God can do, the change that the Word of God can do in our life. 2 Corinthians 3:18, another aspect of change. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We open our Bibles and we open them up with the intent to obey them. We talked about worship in Sunday school this morning, and I just have another point here. Reading the Bible with the intent to obey is one of the greatest forms of worship. When you pick up this book and you open it up, it's important that you're not just opening it up as another book. It's not just a storybook. It's not just something that you're fascinated with or it's intriguing, but it's a way of life that is, it's a prescription. It's something that we need to have a heart attitude of willingness to obey what we read and willingness to change, willingness to turn with me to James chapter 1, read a few verses there. These verses will describe what I'm saying here. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So it uses a natural illustration. I'm sure many of us, before we came to church this morning, looked in the mirror. We wanted to see what we looked like before we come and be around other people. And then some of us made some adjustments to our personal appearance. What good does it do you to look in the mirror if you don't do anything about what you see there? If you don't care what you see when you look in the mirror, don't look in the mirror. And that's the same way. If you don't want to do anything about what you read God's word, it's better to not open the book. But if you open the book, make sure you're willing to make the adjustments. It's another verse, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Does that sound like change to you? Does that sound like an element of change? Does that sound like something that can change? Second Timothy 3, you may turn there. Sometimes we have the question, what part of the Bible should I read? And while we believe that the New Testament is our way of life for this dispensation, this era of time, I would like to encourage us to read through our Bibles. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture, note that, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to change the world in 2022? Read your Scripture. It says it will make the man of God perfect. And I don't understand that, but I'm simple enough to believe it, that it can. But to me, it sounds like a positive change if it does, because I'm not perfect. But as we read our Scriptures, and as we read all Scripture, it's given as inspiration, and it's profitable for us. Do you have a plan for 2022 of how you want to accomplish reading your Scripture? That's a challenge to me. Did you know that even the kings of the Old Testament had a Scripture reading plan? You can read that in Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 19. It says, when it shall be when he, the king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. I bought myself a chronological Bible that I would like to read through this year. Simply, someone took the Bible and laid it out, instead of by chapters and verses, they laid it out in chronological order of how it went through time instead of our normal. I think I already started it here for a couple days. I think I'm going to enjoy that. But I know it'll be a challenge for me to do it, to discipline myself to do it. That's always a challenge. And I believe that could very well be a challenge for more of us, but it takes a commitment. Do we want to change the world? Do we want to change our world? How does change come? Thinking about reading our Bibles, growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, as we read our Bibles, there's another element we need to have in order for it to affect change. And I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. I'm just going to read two verses here in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This activating element we need as we read is faith. If you pick up your Bible and read it without faith, it says here, it's talking about a group of people that the word did not profit because they did not have faith. In other words, the word was preached to them, but it did no good. And that group of people is the story of the children of Israel. You all that know your scriptures, remember the children of Israel had left Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. And then there came the time Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to get a report and say, is this doable for us? Can we conquer this land? And that stories are recorded in Numbers 13 and 14. If you want to read it sometime on your own. These 12 spies came back and they said, 10 of them said, no, we can't do this. The giants are huge in this land. It's too unconquerable. Two of the spies preached the truth and they said, with God's help, we can do this. They had faith. See, they were preaching the good news of deliverance from Egypt and they could go conquer this new land. But only two of them had faith, and the multitude of the congregation of the children of Israel said, no, we're going to believe the 10. And they missed the message. They lost it. They didn't have faith. And so they all had to die in the wilderness. They all wandered there for 40 years. They died in their sins. And the next generation was the one that was benefited or blessed to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan. So it is with us today. We are preached the good news of the gospel of deliverance from our sins, from our old lifestyle. And as you read the Bible is speaking to you, but you need to activate it with faith. Faith that believes that God's word just means what it says. Faith that Jesus just meant what he said when he was here on this earth. And we don't look for a way to water it down or to twist it or to make it mean something else. We activate God's word with faith that God is able. 2 Timothy 1, 12 and 13. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. We have faith. Instead of looking around, we look up. Looking around is one thing that will kill your faith. You can see and you can become fearful. But as we look up, our faith is restored. And we need to be careful. We dare not look around at what others are doing or what they're not doing. The Apostle Peter fell into this trap. The Lord in John 21 and verses 21 and 22, the Lord had given him assignment, and Peter looked around and he saw John sitting over there and he said, Lord, but what about that man? What about him? No. You want to change the world, look at your life and do what God is telling you to do. We have faith that nothing can separate us from God's love. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. So we think about being rooted and grounded in this in 2022. We read God's word. We need to have this faith in our hearts. And as we're reading, as we're hearing, Romans 8 verses 35 through 39. These are very familiar verses, but yeah, very practical and necessary for us today. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you want to change the world in 2022, you need to believe that. Some of these things may appear a lot closer to us than they were before, but nothing can separate us from God's love. Second Corinthians 5:7 just simply says, we walk by faith, not by sight. You think of the 12 captives that walked out of their bondage in the middle of the night. They walked by faith, not by sight. We need to remember that Jesus is the living Word. This word we're reading is alive. It's not just words written in a book. The Bible tells us, I just need to turn there to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. As we think about reading our Word, reading our Bibles, and that bringing change to our life, we need to remember that this Word is alive, and our faith, our Christian faith, is the only faith that has an alive Savior, whatever word you want to call Jesus. There is no other religion that has this aspect. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Down to verse 14, this is the verse I really want. The Word was made flesh. When did that happen? When Jesus came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have a living Savior. We have a living Word. If we want to change the world in 2022, we need to abide in him. We need to abide in the Word. We need to stay close to him. We dare not be like Peter, who followed Jesus afar off and then denied him. Then we have the story of Mary and Martha, and the one was busy serving, and the other sister was sitting at Jesus' feet. And that story tells me that there's a danger of being overly occupied in good things. There's a danger of being too busy that we don't have time for God and his Word and just to sit there and soak it up. Second main point of the message, as we think about how can I change the world in 2022, I can choose Christ-like responses to all experiences in life. I can choose Christ-like responses to all experiences of life. You see, we have a natural man, and the natural man wants to respond one way. And I think if you've walked with the Lord, you know what I mean. But the natural responses will not change the world in a positive way. It may change it in a negative way, but it's not the way we want to change it. And as we think about responding Christ-like and to all life's experiences, we can only do this as we know who Christ is. We cannot change how others relate to us, but we can change how we relate to them. This world is full of offenses, and people become angry, and you cannot change how someone relates to you, but you can change how you respond back to them. We're in a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And the natural response of the flesh is to react. What happens when you hit your finger instead of the nail with the hammer? If you hit it really hard, you're gonna dance around a little bit, or you react, and sometimes it's involuntary. You're not even thinking about what you're doing. Whatever. There's other things that we do that you have an involuntary natural reaction. And so it is with our lives. When someone hurts us, you want to react. That's your natural response. You want to get back at them. You want to respond out of your pain. Or your pain becomes bitterness. So instead of our natural response is instead of looking at Jesus and focusing on being like him, we look at our negative experience and we veer off course of where God wants us to be. Came across this quote, if your feelings are hurt, it's simply a sign that you are still living in the flesh. Now, I'd just like to look at a few of our responses and what God has given us through his word and through Jesus that we can respond Christ-like in a Christ-like manner. It's not without a battle. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is one of the things that God has promised us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And this maybe is more thinking about another aspect of our fleshly responses. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One of our natural responses is fear. There is a lot of fear in the world today. There's a lot of fear that can come into my life. I need to recognize that that does not come from God. Fear does not come from God. Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But this verse here in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, God hath given us the power of, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, to be calm, to be balanced, to be self-controlled. If we want to change the world, we're going to have to conquer that spirit of fear. We're going to have to put away anger, put off anger. James 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I want you to get that. Your anger does not make anyone righteous. You can try to change the world in anger, but it will not change the world in a positive way, in a godlike way. It will not work the righteousness of God. That's a Bible promise. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, patience, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You want to change the world, we must not strive in anger, we must be gentle. And it's so opposite of what our flesh thinks as natural. When you think about changing something, you think, as men, you think about going in there with power and brute force, and that's the way you change something. But that is not the way scriptural positive change comes. Another fleshly response. We need to live peaceably and choose forgiveness if you want to change the world. We have the story of Isaac in the Old Testament, and they wanted to fight him over the wells that he was digging. They always kept coming and taking them from him. And Isaac, instead of choosing strife, he just went and dug another well and moved on. He didn't fight over it. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Follow peace if you want to change the world. If you want to change the world, we choose humility instead of pride. James 4, 6, "God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble." We don't want to fight God in our quest to change the world. We want to be on God's side. Also wrote down here, if you want to choose Christ-like responses, we learn to respond in a positive way to criticism. And we're so busy improving ourselves that we have no time to criticize others. Third main point, and the last main point of the message, I've entitled, "Live a Life of Faithfulness to God." You say, when we think of this thing of this needs changed and that needs changed, and we go down that road of what all I wish were different around me, and we lose focus on the things we can do, the things that, and one of those things is just simply, I live a life of faithfulness, day in, day out, this day, tomorrow, and the next day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm faithful. I'm just simply doing what God wants me to do, and I'm living how He wants me to live. It's not about the great big projects, but it's just about being where God wants me. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." I'm living faithful life to God. I'm not striving to just please the people around me. And then verse 24 of that Colossians 3 says, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance." I talked at the beginning about how each of us has, our life can be represented by a circle. And that circle is your sphere of influence, your circle of influence. Now, for my wife and I, our circles of influence are fairly close together because we do a lot of things together, but they're not identical. Because I go to work and I have a sphere of influence there that my wife does not have, and my wife stays at home and interacts with some other people, and her sphere of influence is different than mine. But each one of you has an individual sphere of influence. You each have a circle. You each have a life. And I can't be in your circle. I cannot be you, and you cannot be me. Our circles overlap. Yes, we come to church. We interact with each other as brothers, but then you go to work one place one day, and I go to another place, and our circles are totally different places. You have a family, and you have a responsibility to that family that I don't have because they're not in my circle, but they're in yours. Change comes to the world by loving and serving the people God put into your circles. Another quote, "There is no difference between changing the world and changing a diaper if both are done out of a heart of love." The woman that in Mark 14, we know her as the woman with the alabaster box, and she came and anointed Jesus' body for burying. And she was strongly criticized for that by the people around her because they said, "You're wasting all this money for what purpose? You should have used this money and went and fed the poor." And she was criticized for her seeming waste, but Jesus said she did what she could. She did what was her responsibility to do, and each one of our responsibility is different. But Jesus also said that because you have been faithful, your story is going to be told around the world. I'm changing the wording there a little bit, but wherever the gospel is preached, it says the story of this lady with the alabaster box is going to be told, and it's recorded right there in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. Am I doing what I can? See, it's not about doing everything. It's just about doing what I can, what I'm called to do. Faithfulness in the small things of life will be a tremendous inspiration to others. And I just like to read a story I found here as I was preparing. Forgive me if you read The Fish Wrapper, but this story comes from The Fish Wrapper, but it fits so well with the conclusion of this message. So we think about doing what we can. The story is entitled Little Corners. Georgia Willis, who helped in the kitchen, was rubbing the knives. Someone had been careless and let one get rusty. But Georgia rubbed with all her might, rubbed and softly sang a little song. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. "Why do you rub the knives forever?" asked Mary the cook. "Because they are in my corner," Georgia said brightly. "You in your small corner, you know, and I in mine. I will do the best I can. That is all I can do." "I would not waste my strength," said Mary. "I know that no one will notice." "Jesus will," said Georgia, and then she sang again, "You in your small corner and I in mine." "Cooking the dinner is in my corner, I suppose," said Mary to herself. "If that child must do what she can, I suppose I must. If Jesus knows about knives, it is likely that he knows about dinners, too." And she took particular pains. "Mary, the dinner was very nicely cooked today," Miss Emma said. "That is all due to Georgia," said Mary with a pleased face. Then she told about the knives. "Miss Emma was ironing ruffles. She was tired and warm. Helen will not care whether they are fluted or not," she said. "I will hurry over them." But after she heard about the knives, she did her best. "How beautifully my dress is done," Helen said. Emma's laughing answered, "That is owing to Georgia." Then she told about the knives. "No," said Helen to her friend who pleaded, "I really cannot go this evening. I am going to prayer meeting. My corner is there." "Your corner? What do you mean?" Then Helen told about the knives. "Well," the friend said, "if you will not go with me, perhaps I will go with you." And they went to prayer meeting. "You helped us ever so much with the singing this evening," their pastor said to them as they were going home. "I was afraid you would not be here." "It was owing to our Georgia," said Helen. "She seemed to think she must do what she could, if it were only to clean the knives." Then she told him the story. "I believe I will go in here again," said the minister, stopping before a poor little house. "I said yesterday there was no use, but I must do what I can." In the house, a sick man was lying. Again and again, the minister had called, but the invalid would not listen to him. Tonight, the minister said, "I have come to tell you a little story." Then he told him about Georgia Willis, about her knives and her little corner and her doing what she could. The sick man wiped the tears from his eyes and said, "I will find my corner. I will try to shine for Jesus." The sick man was George's father. Jesus, looking down at her that day, said, "She hath done what she could," and gave the blessing. "I believe I will go for a. I will not go for a walk," said Helen hesitantly. "I will finish that dress of mother's, I suppose. I can if I think so." "Why, child, are you sewing?" her mother said. "I thought you had gone for a walk." "No, mother, this dress seemed to be in my corner, so I thought I would finish it. "In your corner," her mother repeated in surprise, and then Helen told about the knives. The doorbell rang, and her mother went thoughtfully to receive her pastor. "I suppose I could give more," she said to herself as she slowly took out the $10 that she had laid aside for missions. "If that poor child in the kitchen is trying to do what she can, I wonder if I am. I will make it $25. And I seemed to hear Georgia's guardian angel say to another angel, "Mrs. Willis gave $25 to our dear people in India today." "$25," said the other angel. "Why, I thought she was poor." "Oh, well, she thinks she is, but her Father in heaven is not, you know. She did what she could, and he did the rest." But Georgia knew nothing about all this, and the next morning she brightened her knives and sang cheerily, "In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine." We are at the second day of this new year, and the year lies before you like a slate that's clean. And the choice is ours. What will you do this year? No one can read the Bible for you. No one can have faith for you. No one can separate you from God's love. No one can make choices that are only yours to make. It's my prayer that we will live faithfully where God has called us. You may kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you.